you know, just keep it on the DL. Like, yeah, maybe tell a couple of your buddies, but don't post it to the whole world to kind of see. Because then that's a real, lack of a better word, a real asshole move.
I feel sad that the people left in Vietnam can't get that vaccine, but you give them the well wishes of like, you know, I love you, Vietnam. I'll see you soon.
I saw last night on the AusCham Sundowners Zoom session, you were wearing some kind of rave singlet or something. Yeah. That singlet, what were you?
Like a net, transparent
was it a mesh,
net?
Was it a mesh?
Is it a transparent
what,
net?
What were you thinking? Hello and welcome to the Bureau Podcast. I'm Matt Cowan, the Bureau Chief and your host. Thank you for joining me. I have a big show as usual for you today. The Bureau's content manager, Melanie Kasul, is here. We have some of the big news headlines of the week. Then we take a bit of a dive into one of my favorite neighborhoods here in Ho Chi Minh City. We put tone deafness and social media to the sword during the pandemic. And we unveil our new co-host. So let's get into it. Once again, thank you for joining me wherever you are. Melanie Kasul, it's another beautiful day here in Ho Chi Minh City. Who would have thought a lockdown and a curfew on top of that would have had any kind of silver lining? The weather's amazing.
Not sure about the weather. It's a bit windy for me here, like the downstream.
Oh, it is down a little bit down there. Is it a bit windy down where you are? Well, yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? I'd love to get to the beach so we can enjoy it.
Yeah.
But here's hoping it'll be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I need some, how do you say that, vitamin C.
Yeah, yep. We all do. Now, Mel, before we get stuck into the show, I want to give a shout out to our mate, Mike Palumbo.
Mike, we miss you.
Remember him?
Yes.
For our listeners or new listeners, he was part of the Bureau and the podcast from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, of course, our photographer.
Our official photographer.
Yeah. So most of the photos you'll see on thebureauasia.com were taken by Mike. And he's one of the best in the business, especially in hospitality, food and beverage. And he's taken his young family back to the States.
I know, COVID sucks. And I didn't even get to meet his baby girl.
Yeah.
But we wish him all the best back home. And maybe one day we'll do that road trip down south to New Orleans.
Is that how they talk down there?
I don't know, NOLA. I'm just trying to imitate him.
I'd love
him.
To do it. I'd love to get over there someday. Hopefully he'll invite us. Well, as much as we all love Mike, he is replaceable. Sorry, Mike. And we also needed someone else we could tease.
Yep.
That was another criterion. And someone we could boss around.
Somebody I can boss around.
Another one for you to boss around. And I don't know about you, Mel, but the obvious choice was what?
Alexa.
Oh, God.
Hi, Alexa. Alexa, what time is it?
What do they say? Don't work with animals.
Yeah. It's 2:09 p.m.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, can she come
so
and
you're
join
saying,
us?
You're saying Alexa is a good replacement
for
Mike.
She's been dying to be on the podcast.
Oh,
she's been stuck in the bedroom and she wants to, and I've trained her a bit. Here, wait. Want to hear? Wait.
All right,
we've practiced this, okay?
She
we've
says
practiced
about as much as Mike.
No, no, no. Here. Alexa, do you know the Bureau podcast?
Was that Play Bureau?
No. Okay, do it again.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the
still
usual.
I'm struggling to find recommendations,
oh,
but
dear.
You can ask for a podcast by name.
All right, Alexa, play the Bureau podcast. Sorry, say that again. Alexa, play the Bureau podcast on Spotify.
Okay, that's not a good one.
She went blip.
That's often the reaction I get at a networking event.
We practiced this. Wait, one more time. Alexa, play the Bureau podcast on Spotify. We practiced this.
Getting the Bureau podcast from Spotify. Here's where you left off in the latest episode. The Rise of Saison's Underworld.
You were actually listening to it.
Yes. See? Wow. See? Wow. See?
That sounds pretty good.
Alexa, stop.
Yeah, so, well,
what do you think?
Yeah, no, she doesn't cut it.
Okay.
It might have been a good idea. Well, Alexa was your choice. The obvious choice for me was a young fella called Andrew Tran. Andrew, he happens to be on the line. Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Andy.
Yo, what up, what up, what up? Thank you so much. I'm really happy to join the Bureau. And, you know, have a lot of fun with you guys.
Great stuff.
I'm looking forward to having fun with you too.
Righto, you two. What are we going to call you? Andy, AT, Tranny?
AT.
AT.
Well, hey, you know, Tranny, I had to own that as a young, as a young kid. I mean, you know, when you're growing up, kids aren't nice. They tease you. And, you know, they found out really early what that meant. So I had to own that really quick, so I had to be really quick and smart around it.
Okay.
AT is cool.
Thanks for making me feel crappy right now. anyway, for now, Andy's going to join us via phone. So over the next few weeks until the lockdown or the social distancing period ends. And then hopefully he'll be able to join us or we'll join him and he can be here on this sort of panel
type. Yeah, we'll have a little setup.
Yeah, and we'll... I don't know, drink beers, drink coffee.
Yeah. And we can use the new Rhodey toys we won for being one of the 100 highly commended podcasts in the recently concluded My Roadcast 2021 competition. Yay! We got them fresh out of the box from Singapore. They just arrived the other day. It's a 4-set NT USB mini. So I got dibs on the pink colored mic. That's mine.
Well, I've got blue. And Andy, we've given you.
I wanted blue. What do I get?
Oh god! You've got green.
You've got a choice
green
of
is
green
going,
or orange. I think there's two more.
There's orange there.
Maybe orange. We'll see when I see them.
Yeah, we're not actually going to give it to you. You can use it. All right. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too. There are hundreds of people wanting to take your position right now on this podcast. So just mind yourself. All right, righto, guys.
Andrew Tran as well.
All right, so we're going to go AT. All right, so righto, guys. I thought we'd kick off the show with some of the latest Vietnam news as it relates to hospitality, travel, and lifestyle here.
Wait, what?
What?
That still exists in Vietnam, hospitality, travel, and lifestyle.
Well, I think we can still talk about it, even though we can't, right?
We can't enjoy it at the moment.
Andy was just telling us before that he got some nice cakes or something from Taiwan.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's still...
Yeah, sure.
Is it from Taiwan, Andy?
Yeah, it's from Taiwan. It's from Taiwan. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've had a hell of a week. Everyone's going through that right now.
Yeah.
So it's time to treat ourselves in a sense where we can.
Yeah, sweet. All right. Okay. So the first one relates to hospitality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really necessarily a headline that made the local rags the major headlines.
News breaking. Yeah. Breaking news.
And the first one, relates to hospitality, and there's ongoing uncertainty about when restaurants and bars will reopen in Ho Chi Minh City and, of course, all over Vietnam. There's really no definitive end time in sight for the restrictions set here for the pandemic. We're into how many weeks of lockdown now or heavy social distancing?
Six?
Six or six? I think it's about eight. Is it?
Six, eight?
Eight.
Eight, yeah. It feels like a gradual squeeze. Feels like a gradual squeeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's pretty hard now.
Yeah.
I don't know how you are there, Andy, but... so So this means restaurants and bars have no idea when they're going to be allowed to reopen. Mm. And that's also if they survive between now and whenever.
That's really sad.
Yeah. So something interesting I picked up on this week was that a few restaurants around town are beginning to either offer or are considering offering a voucher system whereby, as far as I can tell, you purchase the voucher, then you redeem it at a later date when things are rolling again.
Oh, voucher. Okay, so I'm a little confused. I thought that when you said voucher, it was like a discount voucher, but...
No. Nah.
So what, from what I gather, it's like a promissory note?
What's like, that?
You know, okay, so a promissory note is something like, you know, when you go to a money lender.
Okay.
And then you're saying, okay, I'm going to pay you back like this amount at this time.
Okay.
At this interest. Mm. So, you know... Like a promissory note, like, okay, we enter into this agreement now, and then I'll, you know, you promise this, I promise that.
Yeah, well, I think these vouchers are, you know, the restaurants and bars, they're still paying rent. So they need some kind of cash flow coming in, of course.
Okay.
So they've come up with this idea that you can pay in advance.
All right.
You know, as a way to sort of help. What's that?
Well, there's a hole to that, right? Because it's on the premises that the business will still be run. What happens between now and whenever it opens?
Mm.
The business closes down. What happens
well, that's
to those people who bought those tickets?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like the promissory note, you know, like reference, I don't know exactly the fine line in the banks, but would there be like a clause for force majeure? So like as AT says, what if they don't open again? I mean, what happens to that voucher that you bought?
Well, I would say to that, you know, let's say it's a pizza place.
Okay.
It's not like you're going in to put a down payment on a deposit for a house or whatever. You know, you're buying
all
a
right,
pizza.
Okay.
So it might be, how much is a pizza these days? 150,000?
Okay.
Depending on.
All right.
So it's... You know, you might be spending 10, 20, 50 bucks up front.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, okay. So here's the thing. Before this fourth wave of COVID came on, right? Mm. I actually bought tickets to see a play. Right?
Yep.
So I bought tickets to see a play and then I paid 300,000 dong. Okay. So I could probably have a couple of coffees or maybe have a dinner. With that 300,000 dong.
Mm.
But so I paid bank transfer. And then when the lockdown happened, they sent us an email that says, look, do you want your money back? Or do you want to wait for us to have the show back on again? And for me, I thought, look, I was buying that ticket because I was supporting my friend who was an actress at that play.
Yep.
And I just didn't bother with it because for me, she and her colleagues... they were practicing for like months on end. And I just thought that, you know what? This is my contribution to you guys. You're artists. I'm an artist. I know how it is. So for me, I didn't take it back.
Mm.
So I wonder if this voucher has that, you know, give it back if we don't open again.
What are your thoughts, AT?
I don't know. We got to wait, man. Like, I have that same situation as well. Like, you know, I think we all kind of run small things like in and around Saigon and all these little events that are happening. So, you know, like for me, like for those events, whenever I change a date, 100%, I give people the option to you know, get their refund, their money back.
Mm.
But I don't know with these small businesses, man, like, you know, a lot of them, I just feel sometimes like, you know, maybe what they should do is once everything kind of opens back up again, like try and maybe reorganize the way they operate their business. I know it's tough still right now, and I totally get it. But at the same time, I think there's an opportunity, there's a silver lining. And also, if I was a betting man, I would say a lot of insurance products will be coming up pretty soon with premiums related around like shutdowns like this, and you know, you're going to see quite a lot of businesses.
How would you if you had, say, I don't know, some kind of mid-range cafe, bar, restaurant kind of place? How would you
organize the exchange?
How would you go from being a pre-COVID restaurant, bar, cafe kind of place doing pizzas and sort of bar food to post-COVID, you know, situation. Like, how do you change that anyway? Like, you have people coming into your restaurant.
Yeah, no. I think that's a good question. So I do have clients within, like, small businesses exactly like that scenario that you just kind of mentioned.
Right.
You've asked me that. And one of the first things you got to do is, well, look at your financials first and foremost. So, you know, it's all about, like, how do we just survive in the beginning? So that's just looking at your financials, looking at ways where you can clear out certain debts that you have, potentially ask your landlord for a decrease in rent. And that is actually possible here in Vietnam. There are instances and cases where landlords have been, you know, they understand that, you know, the tenants are having a tough time about it. They don't want them to go out of business, because if they go out of business, then it's even tougher for them to
find
new
ones.
New tenants.
So that's good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we'll find a way for it.
Well, there are businesses, you know, like, are changing it right now. Like, you know, instead of selling beer, they're selling vegetables for delivery.
Yep.
You know, so they're diversifying their product line.
Yep.
It might not necessarily be something that they would continue after the pandemic, but we're talking about right here, right now.
Mm.
And everybody's just got to do what they can do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think those guys have got to try and do what they can. And at the end of the day, they're not holding a gun to your head saying, you know, you have to buy this voucher, you have to spend 50 bucks. It's people like you mentioned before, Mel, that are supporters. You're a supporter of your friend who goes to the who's
an actress
or whatever.
Yeah.
So same thing with people who want to support their favorite bar or restaurant.
Well, I'm not sure if this is entirely in the same line, but I do want to raise it, and I want to get your opinion on this, Matt and Andy. So, we've got an establishment who's diversified, changed their product line and offering something. We've got a creative industry who is, you know, giving back the tickets, which is good, you know, giving options to people. And then we have an establishment who is offering like a promissory note voucher. Look, I don't really know the technical term for that. So I'm just using the terms that comes up in my head.
Gift voucher.
Yeah. But how do you feel about a business that just blatantly asks for a handout and opens a GoFundMe account online?
I've noticed a little bit of that going around. I think, again, in the F&B industry, it's they're the ones that feel these sorts of things first, right?
What about the creators like us?
Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, we do for sure. I mean, we're obviously affected, but you are asking me.
Sorry.
What I thought about that particular, you know, those places
examples,
doing
that
examples. Look, if I was to put myself in their shoes, I'd be. Like I said before, I've got rent to pay. I may have some staff left or may not. I've probably offloaded them for now, furloughed them for a little while. And I also think, well, you don't have to donate.
Okay.
I personally probably wouldn't do it.
Okay.
You know, but then again, I don't have, you know, I operate out of my living room.
True. And we don't have kids to feed.
I don't, yeah.
We don't have a pet.
But I still would feel uncomfortable about doing that. I'd probably approach certain individuals
privately.
In private and run it by them and say, hey, you know, would you like to be an investor or or can you help me out just for now? I just don't think I could do it publicly.
Okay. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, I totally agree with Matt. I wouldn't do that publicly. And it all comes back down to risk, right? So, you know, if you started your business within the last 18 to 24 months, you started in a super, super risky environment.
Yep.
And so you're going to have these certain situations that's going to happen. And it sucks. It really does suck. But it's part of being an entrepreneur, part of being in business where, yes, you know, you may have a great product, it may have some sort of fit in the market because you know you have customers that do come, but it actually may not be the right time because you don't have control over what's happening with the lockdowns, the start-stop type of method that the government trying to do to limit people walking around and stuff.
Yep.
And so, you know, if you're a business owner, you got to factor that in. And I mean, this is the reason why people take out insurance policies and
that's
stuff
true.
Like that, but also have money saved up, banked up. And, you know, some people calculate it right and they're able to weather it through, or they're able to, you know, be entrepreneurial and pivot, like you just said earlier, Mel. They're able to pivot into other parts, able to sell, you know, groceries on top of, you know, alcohol beverages or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't do it personally. And I think if I have to go out into the public and ask for a handout, it kind of it looks bad. Especially if you've got multiple businesses, it looks even worse, because then it's
true.
Like, well, why don't you just keep afloat your other businesses by selling off one of the other businesses that you have, you know? I mean, that's what a business person does.
Yep.
Well,
it sounds super cold, but that's the way it is, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. And unfortunately, there are businesses that need support.
Yep. And okay. Well, let's leave it there and move on to the next question. So, guys, when do you think this lockdown or social distancing order is going to end, or at least abate enough so that international travel can resume to Vietnam? Because just a couple of days ago, VN Express reported well over 4,000 new cases for the day. Ooh. I think that was on Monday Tuesday. And that brought the tally to almost 158,000 cases for this wave.
For the fourth
alone.
Wave. I think we're called the fourth wave.
The fourth wave.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind that Vietnam has only fully vaccinated around 0.6% of the population.
Oh, man.
And the population of Vietnam is near enough to 100 million people. Some good news I just found out today. Or in the last 24 hours, that neighbourhoods in District 7 are rolling out vaccinations. So that's a good sign. You know, there's a lot of large complexes in District 7 and they're on this vaccination drive. So there's a good sign. That's good.
And maybe other districts to follow, hopefully.
Yeah. So what about you guys? When do you think, based on that info, when do you think things are going to fire up again?
Oh, man. You go first, Andy.
All right. We're in August, right? And so obviously I think August is completely out. I think to have things open up by September is a far stretch.
Yep.
I think maybe October, maybe like early to middle October, I reckon.
You just mean that's domestically, right?
Hopefully.
Domestically,
domestically.
Well,
yeah. What about you guys?
I recently read a Bloomberg article that said long-haul travel might not even resume until 2023.
Yep.
So since we have new mutant strains, you know, it's not sure if the current vaccines can fight these as well. And also the World Health Organization has not really approved what a lot of airline companies have been lobbying for, which are digital health passports.
Right.
So there is no end in sight yet. No, not from this window seat, not from this economy window seat. I can't see it. I might just be short, or maybe I'm short-sighted.
I hate to break it to you. You are short.
And short-sighted, by the way.
Look, I would have, you know, if you'd asked me this a few days ago, I would have said no travel to Vietnam next year at all. Except for, obviously, you know, they're going to let certain businesses in, you know, essential, whatever they are.
Essential workers.
Workers from whatever industries. But over, you know, the last couple of days, seeing these squads of vaccination dudes getting around and starting to vaccinate people, you know, it makes a difference when you can actually see things happening as opposed to reading the same stuff in the news all the time or, you know, hearsay. But I see potential there with places like Phu Quoc down south, which is an island. So I see a lot. Yeah. And I think that there's word that there might be like the Phuket sandbox situation in Phu Quoc as well, where they open it up.
What's that?
Well, Thailand opened up a month or a couple of months ago what they called the sandbox. So, it's like a vacuum.
Is that
what? Like a trial area for people to fly into.
Yeah.
They had to do, I think they still had to do like a 2-week isolation or quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that'll be your that'll be your entire holiday.
that's Phuket.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Phuket's an island, right?
Yeah.
So makes sense. But from what I've been hearing, it hasn't worked.
Mm.
I think it's still happening, but it may be on its last legs. I could be wrong as well. Yep. I think Thailand's in a similar situation to Vietnam at the moment.
Oh,
I think they're red zone or whatever you call it all over the country. And so I think there were plans for October for Phu Quoc to be like a sort of a sandbox kind of place.
Really?
And it has the potential. It has a big potential because of that international airport there, you know. So
Question to you guys. Like, when do you think, like, Vietnam and maybe Southeast Asia will create its own kind of, you know, bubble? Do you think when we get to a point where the population gets vaccinated, like 30% or something like that, or 50%, and then they'll start creating a bubble between the Southeast Asian nations? What do you think?
That was the word I was looking for, the bubble, not the vacuum. Sorry. Yeah. wow. I don't know. Maybe just within Southeast Asia.
I think it's hard to have a bubble. Like, look at the issues Vietnam's had with our borders.
And the Philippines too. Like,
well the Philippines is, you've got 7,000 islands. I mean, actually, probably just thinking about it now, it should be possibly one of the best opportunities in Southeast Asia to relaunch tourism
locally,
because you've got so many islands and you can isolate things. Mm-hmm. Well, presumably Australia is an island. We haven't seemed to be able to worked it out yet.
Look, I can't really say. Like, I try not to doom scroll every day, you know, just looking at all the bad news around the world. So at the moment, I'm actually looking forward to just local, you know, local travel.
Yes, which brings me to the next one, Andy. Brings me to your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, Win Tai Bin neighborhood in District 1. Now, you just, for our listeners who aren't aware of the area, can you describe it a little bit? So describe it. In the sort of so-called normal times before COVID-19, and then compare it with what you're seeing on the ground at the moment.
All right. So normal times in Win Tai Bin was crazy. It was just nonstop noise, a lot of beeping, just stereotypical, like, what do you think of what Vietnam is? It was like that. And the cool thing about Win Tai Bin is it's an old Chinese kind of area as well. So you hear people speak Cantonese, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah, which is really cool.
You speak Cantonese, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep, that's right. I speak Cantonese.
Yep.
And so it's kind of cool just hearing that, especially as a foreigner, I guess, where you're so used to either hearing English or speaking broken English to try and get your point across.
Yep.
With a mix of like a couple of Vietnamese words here and there, it's kind of nice just to hear like your own mother tongue, in a sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, before then, it was crazy. Lots of things to do. Nothing really closes. And then now, like, you know, with the lockdowns, ever since ever since July and then up until now, like, it's been quiet. Really, really, really quiet. The only thing you really hear are sirens from ambulances.
Oh, that's depressing.
Running through the city.
Yeah.
It's depressing, yeah. I just went through, you know, like, my hem just got locked in because we found out there was someone who is F0. Yeah,
It
was a positive case. And so we were kind of locked in. I managed to get out. And so I quickly, you know, took some snaps and then kind of shared it on my social. It's like, wow, I can walk in the middle of the road and just, you know. And
yeah, that's crazy. Like, if you can, you can never walk down the street.
Especially at the end where the bridge comes in from, you know, District 4, near the Calmette Bridge, right? There's like an intersection there. It's so hard to cross that on a bike or on foot.
It's near the, for any backpackers listening, it's near the Pham Nhu Lao backpacker area down that end.
Oh, wow. So are you still in lockdown right now or is it lifted?
No, it's mostly in lockdown at the moment. Mm-hmm. I can still get delivery, but I'm doing this like 2 meters. I've got to step 2 meters back. And there's like this, you know, if you think about it, for anyone who's watching, for everyone's listening, you know, if you think about it, there's like a demilitarized type of zone where your delivery driver will drop that stuff there, get sanitized and sprayed, and then they back off for two meters, and then you're allowed to come in for 2 meters and grab it and back off. So it's a pretty funny thing. So imagine if you're having to pay things in cash, right?
Oh, wow.
You have to do this weird thing where you step in, you put your money on the table, you put a rock so that it doesn't fly away. You step back, and then you know the delivery driver gives you the goods and exchanges the money. It's kind of crazy at the moment.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in there for that long, 3 months or so. Okay, so that doesn't sound too good, Andy. I'm glad, though, it's you in there and not me. Is that insensitive of me? Oh, anyway, righto. Let's.
How dare you?
I told you I'd get you back.
Now, has already started.
I know. Sorry.
Now, I just want to move on to the next one. The prickly topic of embassies and vaccinations.
Ooh, okay.
This comes with the news that the French government is vaccinating its citizens living overseas, including here in Vietnam. Mm. No doubt on social media you would have seen some of your French friends getting jabbed already this week.
Vive la France! Ooh la la!
And I think Andy...
Chinese citizens are also getting.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah, I did read that. They're getting the Sinopharm shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apart from that, I don't know if there are any other embassies following suit. I know the Australian embassy isn't, much to the disappointment of many Aussies here.
Wow.
Andy, you're a fellow Aussie. What are your thoughts?
G'day. Well, mate, what's going to happen is, what's happened is that.
You're a dickhead.
Dickhead. What's happened is that Australia, like, the government kind of came into Vietnam and went, hey, we're gonna donate like 1.x million doses, and then it just jets off, comes back to Australia. And so, you know, a lot of expats here in Vietnam, they're asking the Chamber of Commerce and the embassy as like, what's going on
right.
Oh, wow.
At the moment. The embassy and chambers are like working really hard right now, like with the Vietnam government to, like, tally up, like, firstly, how many Aussie expats are here.
Yep.
And then once it becomes available, once they're doing the kind of bigger rollouts of the vaccine, then we're able to possibly get preferences or not. But, you know, like, the Chamber of Commerce is doing its best to kind of, you know, lobby with the government to try and get some preferences expats based here. So it's wait and see right now.
Yeah, well, one of the things that interested me was the way the embassy communicated their message. Mm. Quite a few Aussies vented their frustration on social media, on some of the local Facebook groups, and they believe the Australian government should be doing more to support Aussies living overseas, and including Vietnam. And both Australia's ambassador in Hanoi and the Consul General here in Ho Chi Minh City released statements.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a snippet of what Ambassador Moody had to say yesterday in an online message via the Australian Embassy Facebook page.
This is a rapidly evolving situation. We've been hearing reports that in some areas of Ho Chi Minh City, some foreign nationals have been able to access vaccines through their employers, their landlords, and through the local ward and district authorities. From what we understand, when vaccines become available through these channels, people are advised at very short notice. We'll continue to engage with the Vietnamese authorities and will share any information that we receive about these processes. To assist us to do so, we would also welcome any information that you come across that may help us to understand and provide a fuller picture of the situation to the Australian community. Please send relevant updates to our consular inbox at the email address in this post. I know that this is an increasingly anxious time for everyone. There is no higher priority for me and my team than supporting Australians on the ground with as much information and advice as we can.
So, yeah, that was the Australian Ambassador, Moody. Right. And it sounds pretty clear to me that the embassy's role in this is about providing information and advice. Yep. So it's pretty clear that they're not going to
lobby.
Move on.
They're not going to lobby.
Well, I think they're lobbying to the Vietnamese government. The embassy and the consul general mm-hmm. are sort of out of their jurisdiction in that regard. I don't think they can. I don't know. I'm out of my depth with diplomatic
I think I'll
matters.
Take the fifth on this one. I'm hoping to get a travel visa to Australia one of these days again, and I don't want this podcast to affect the approval of my travel visa.
Listening to that, it's pretty clear that if you're expecting the embassy or the consul general to provide Australian citizens with a vaccine, you need to.
It's not
get a
gonna
reality.
Happen.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Well.
And anyway, there's a lot to wait.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, maybe you can apply to be a French citizen. That might work.
I don't know about that. It might be a bit late for that. And yeah, Andy, you mentioned AusCham. They're assisting the Vietnamese government, right?
Yeah, so like really recently, last week, they put out a quick email to all like members and non-members and basically do a big call out to all Australian citizens here to, you know, put in their details and stuff so that they can tally all up, you know, the votes, or not votes, but just all the people here so that they can prepare once they get better news from the government and then just kind of roll it through. So, yeah, I think the Chamber's doing its best, to provide as much, you know, transparent information like you kind of mentioned.
Yep.
Yeah. So
speaking of transparency, I saw last night on the AusCham Sundowners Zoom session, you were wearing some kind of rave singlet or something. Yeah. That singlet. What were you? What were you?
Like a net, transparent net?
Was it a mesh?
Is it a transparent net?
What were you thinking? What was going on there?
I don't know. When you're in lockdown, you do crazy things. When you're in lockdown, you do crazy things. And I just happened to be wearing a singlet.
Trying to get better reach.
Clear that.
All right.
You know, the younger demographic is something that you got to think about these days.
Okay. Yeah, you do. All right, just to wrap up this segment, I thought I'd move on to something a bit more serious. E-Tit.
Huh?
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Do you know him, Andy?
Say it again.
No.
E-Tit.
E-Tit.
No.
Yeah, I think I know him. He won an influencer award from TikTok, I think, last year.
Yeah,
he's been getting a lot of product endorsements.
He's a cowherd. They call him.
Yeah.
They keep mentioning him in the media as a cowherd from up in Binh Dinh.
Yep.
On Vietnam's south central coast, up there near Quy Nhon and the Champa, where the Champa region is. Okay. He's from a very impoverished background. Mm-hmm. And he shot to fame on TikTok, as Mel said, with his numbers song from 41 to 49. His initial video of him just singing the numbers 41 to 49, get this, got about 2 million views. And all he does is sing from 41 to 49.
I think we should change professions.
I'm in the wrong job.
He's now got 2.1 million followers on TikTok.
Oh my.
And a whole bunch on YouTube and all this sort of stuff. And a lot of this came about when Rihanna The singer.
The billionaire, the new billionaire.
Yeah, and other superstars picked up on him and they mentioned him in their tweets
in
their posts and stuff like that. Then Wiz Khalifa sampled it on his own numbers track, and that alone has had 4 million views to date. I don't know. Do you want to hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, sure.
Just a little,
yeah, let's do it.
Little grab of it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Usually I make a weed song.
Yeah.
So it goes on weed song. Usually I make a weed song.
Mel's nodding her head.
Did he get paid to do this?
I don't know. You'd hope so.
Yeah.
That's not us coughing, by the way. It's not.
No.
What's that, Andy?
Hope he gets paid.
Yeah.
And I'm smoking all day. Ain't no weed left in my tray. I know that.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty catchy.
Yeah,
isn't
it?
I find it.
To the face and you know it's the bomb. You can tell by the taste.
So anyway, E-Tit or Saw, his account, I think it's Saw E-Tit. Saw is like number.
Okay.
Was back in the news this week after a video apparently appeared on the Olympic TikTok and Instagram pages with photos of Michael Phelps receiving his 28 gold medals.
Oh, wow.
And E-Tit counting up to 28.
Oh.
So
I wonder if he can swim. That would be a great collab. You know, Phelps giving him swimming lessons up in his province in the river.
Look,
or
I reckon
like
he
that.
Could, given his career trajectory so far, so he's gone from, you know, he's from a super poor family.
Yeah.
Got himself a job as a cowherd.
Yep.
Now he's a TikTok sensation.
That's
with
crazy.
Over 2 million followers. I reckon he could learn to swim and, you know.
If only 2 million followers amounted to $2 million.
Oh. Well, I guess he's getting some gigs. Okay, guys. Well, how about that for a segue into our final topic for the episode?
Mm.
And it's something that I've noticed happening a bit lately as people get their vaccinations.
Okay.
There's this propensity for people to post a pic of themselves after getting their shot.
Uh-huh.
You know, showing off the shoulder with a Band-Aid on it and saying, vaccinated.
There's a sticker. Their card.
Yeah, I think Facebook has something you can add to your profile pic to show that you've been vaccinated.
Okay.
Mel, this is something that interests you, being a digital marketing lecturer, an expert that you are. You keep a close eye on these things. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, initially, when there was a big drive to, you know, get vaccinated, especially in the US and in the UK, look, I follow the royal family on Instagram. I follow the POTUS, Joe Biden, on Twitter. Oh, he also has an Instagram account, Twitter, and every social. And for me, if you're such a big influencer like that, you're the president of the United States, you're, you know, the future king of England, and you want to encourage your citizens to get vaxxed, then I thought back then, early on, I think that was great, because you have an influencer that told people, look, don't be afraid. These are the facts. Read about it, get vaxxed, and, you know, you do that. And for me, that was good. But I think what you're talking about now are not so much as influencers, but just like ordinary people.
Yeah, just ordinary people.
All right.
Generally. Yeah.
So personally, I wouldn't put my status on social media if I got vaxxed. And I just think that because then I would consider myself really lucky, you know, that I was able to get the jab. And I don't want to put it in people's faces.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there was an interesting bit of data I saw from eMarketer about the 4 challenges facing influencer marketing during the pandemic.
Right.
So they are, 1, marketing budgets have shrunk. 2, travel restrictions have limited content creator, activities because the creators can't go out. 3, sales ROI is still very difficult to measure. And 4 is insensitive content or behavior from an influencer during the pandemic. And that may reflect poorly on partner brands that they collaborate with. So for me, the interest goes beyond, you know, hashtag vaxxed photos and stories, but really, you know, similar tone deaf content.
But these are just an average Joe.
Yeah, I know.
Who are not working for brands doing
sure.
it.
But for me, that's how I think about it. Mm. Like, you're an ordinary Joe, you're not an influencer, but still it's like you're putting your privileged status.
Okay.
As having been vaxxed. And I just feel bad about the people who are still consumers of social media and, you know, who don't have access to that privilege.
Right. AT?
Yeah,
to go with Mel's point, I think, especially it depends on the country, right? Like, I think if you talk about Australia, where the vaccination is actually quite high, higher than here in Vietnam, then I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with it. I think when you do it in a country like Vietnam or any of the Southeast Asian nations where, you know, there is quite a disparity in terms of, like, you know, the rich and the poor.
Yep.
And when they do that, yeah, it comes across as a bit of tone deaf. Like, oh, okay, cool. Especially as also the younger they are. Because right now, like, I think, you know, in Vietnam, like, there's like a limited amount of, you know, vaccines available in the country.
Yep.
And so if you happen to be under 60 and you've got the vaccine, I think you should, you know, just keep it on the DL. Like, yeah, maybe tell a couple of your buddies, but don't post it to the whole world to kind of see. Mm-hmm. Because then that's a real, lack of a better word, a real asshole move.
And look,
yes.
I want to add to that. And look, I might lose some friends on social media if I started saying this, but I'm not going to mention names. Okay. So if certain people have, again, it's the P word, it's the privilege. Some people do have the privilege of going back home to their home country, right? Mm. And getting vaccinated the minute they arrive at the airport, they just walk into a pharmacy and the vaccine is ready for them, you know, and they don't have to line up. It's for free. And then you post it on social media and then, you know, you say, I love you, Vietnam. You know, you got this and, you know, wishing you well. Then why did you leave?
Ah, okay.
And for me, that's like, you've left us here. We are all expats. Mm-hmm. You have the privilege to go back and get your, then just, you know, just keep it, like you said, on the DL. Keep it on the down low. Mm. Don't.
So you find it a bit patronizing or something?
No,
is that it?
I just feel that it's, I feel sad that the people left in Vietnam can't get that vaccine, but you give them the well wishes of, like, you know, I love you, Vietnam. I'll see you soon.
And I'm having a burger over here at the beach.
After I get my vax. Yeah. And I just feel so bad for, and I'm kind of like crying right now, but so we're going to have to stop this podcast.
Chances are they've probably, you know, their visas weren't necessarily up to date. And so they probably left.
There was a lot of that. There was a.
Okay. You're making me feel better now. Yeah. You're making me feel better now, Andy.
That's when I should have put this on as well. This might make you laugh a little bit.
What?
Yeah. Come on. 1, 2, 20.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, well, on that note, I think that's time to wrap up this episode. A quick reminder that you can listen to our award-winning entry in the recent My Roadcast competition that Mel just mentioned. It's called Blood Debt, the legend behind the Win Tai Binh neighborhood of Ho Chi Minh City. And it's not AT. He is not the legend behind the Win Tai Binh neighborhood, although he's slowly building that status. And you can get that wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the Bureau Asia podcast. It's a super, super interesting story, and we won a prize for that, which Mel mentioned. Make sure you check it out. Now, I want to thank the Bureau's content manager, Melanie Kasul. Thanks, Mel.
You're welcome.
It's
great to be back on the podcast.
All right, awesome. And you can follow Mel here at the Bureau Asia and on Instagram at Melanie Kasul. And also, Big thanks to Andy Chan.
Woohoo! AT. And welcome.
You can follow. You can follow AT at Andrew Chan Digital on Facebook and LinkedIn. He's a LinkedIn dude, and on his website, Andrew Tran. That's TRAN.Asia. Thanks, AT. And
thank you.
Last but not least, thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out the Bureau Asia at thebureauasia.com for the latest in F&B travel and lifestyle in Vietnam and Southeast Asia, and also on Facebook and Instagram. We're at Mal.
At the Bureau Asia.